text or WhatsApp your view to Greg on 086 60 25,000.
And many of you have. Thanks once more to Emma Gover, Liam Blaney and Liam White for their views during the first hour. Housing and immigration both go hand in hand, says a listener. People coming into the country are being housed before the Irish. 86,000 came into the country last year and got housed. We need to talk about immigration. Another, Liam White, said, it's very hard for young people to buy houses. I disagree. I got the Help to Buy grant from government. I got a €30,000 grant to pay my deposit. My wife and I are only on a wage and a half as she works part-time. 3 years ago, I didn't have a house and now I'm living in my brand new house. Under Sinn Féin, they want to remove this grant and buy council land that can't be used. Everyone likes to complain about this government, but we won't get this again. I know more people than ever that are building houses. Is it a hate crime to coercively manipulate a child to hate their loving co-parent, non-abusive mother or father? If not, it fails the test already and is not fit for purpose. There are no sanctions or consequences for the hate crime and child abuse called parental alienation, but it doesn't fall within the hate crime legislation. I understand where you're coming from. First, you'd have to determine that that action was motivated by hate as well, I suppose. What you and your guests are saying, that it's open season if you are white, straight and Irish, but if you're a so-called ethnic minority, you can do what you want. Just look at the courts every week. They're causing havoc in Irish society, and not one of you, if the guts to call it out, shame on you. There's a lot to unpack there. Firstly, proportionately, there aren't more people who are minorities in courts per se. I mean, you literally just look at the courts rather than maybe read a tweet from someone on it. It's about hating someone because they're a minority. I mean, you can be white and straight and Irish and that's grand, but it's if you were to cause injury to someone based on them being an ethnic minority. I mean, do you want to be able to do you want to be able to beat someone up and not face any further punishment because they happen to be a minority? I don't understand. I'm not saying I'm for the legislation, but as it reads, it is actually really quite vague, right? But the consequences of it is that you would receive an extra sentence because you assaulted someone based on their gender or their race. You don't want, you want to be able to just only get the regular punishment for that. I don't know what the text. Get back to me. Come on the radio and talk about it, by the way. If you think I've no guts, just come on and talk about it. I don't mind. Talk about anything if you want, as long as it's not offensive. I live in Capri and I met a guy going sideways on a motorbike last night. We managed to get him cleaned up and he wasn't badly injured, but please be careful as the roads are very slippy. The Glenfin to Ballybuffet Capri Road has a bad oil spill. Ashleen says, was just about to send this person money and quickly Googled it, and she's on lots of other sites nationwide with the same story. It's a scam. Please don't fall for it. I nearly did. Also, notice they've turned off comments so no one can call them out. Maybe you can rescind your donation. So what's this about? Right, okay. It's a post that reads, I never thought I'd be the person that has to come onto social media and ask for help, but I'm having such a hard time right now. I've no food for my children, no gas in the house, and I don't get paid till Monday. I really don't know what to do, as this is my very last resort. Would anyone please, please help? I'll pay back on Monday. Could anyone please send anything whatsoever to this PayPal? So the PayPal is there. Right, okay, this is, I wouldn't fall for this one, to be honest with you, but people easily could. And it's not just on this one website that was posted locally. Apparently, it's on literally thousands of groups. Can you imagine if they get 1,000 people that would just send a fiver? Be careful, folks. There are people that genuinely need it. Hi, Greg. This is in relation to the story coming to light about young woman in Letterkenny regarding violent rape and sexual assault. I just want to say this is absolutely shocking to happen on Main Street. We need to make sure this does not happen in our town or county. A high degree of guard of presence is required up and down this street. I hope to see that this weekend. Letterkenny is becoming unsafe, an unsafe town at night. A very, very concerning, worrying story there. Will this new law be used against those on the far left who continuously target the Catholic Church, branding all clerics as paedophiles on social media in recent years? Based on religion? Yes, I presume, if hate. But it's not about verbalising issues. I mean, it's not about... You can call anyone anything, by the way. This is hate crime, not hate speech. There's no hate speech laws. If you want to, I don't understand why someone wants to, but if you want to go on social media and target someone based on their ethnicity or whatever, or providing you don't accuse them of a crime they didn't commit, you can do that. There's nothing to, if that's what you want to be able to do, to go on and be abusive to people, go ahead. There's no crime against it. What about the call for all European Union to finally end the outdated practice of biannual clock changes? Does the panel believe with our border it might actually make people realise in Donegal we are different? I tried to raise that issue last week off the back of one text and no one bit. So I don't think it's anything that really bothers people that much. Greg, I went to school in 1966. Anything we learned was out of books. There was no such thing as painting nails. If we're going to learn colours, we learn it from painting on paper, in my opinion. The world has gone mad. Some people thinking they're a cat and some thinking they're a dog. What's wrong with them? People, you can't be a human and an animal at the same time. That's my opinion from Union. Union, and listen, I mean, there is a lot of that going on at the moment. How long that lasts, I don't know. Because the world is tough, right? The world is tough. And what you might sort of think at 16, 17 and 18, and I'm afraid there is not a world and there won't be a world there whereby you can continue that sort of nonsense, I have to say. Someone identifies a cat, I'm going to call it out. It's nonsense, right? So I don't know. I think there'll be a bit of a reset in that regard, to be honest with you. It's peculiar. About this inclusivity stuff, what's wrong with simply saying to a child, boys don't paint their nails, end of? I've worked in early years in primary education all of my life and now I'm retired. Children have always enjoyed playing with makeup and nail varnish as well as dressing up. It's important for their development to explore. We wouldn't have this conversation 10 or 20 years ago. Parents accepted that this was part of a healthy play. There you go. That is another view as well. I mean, maybe we're up to high dome. Inhaled fumes of nail varnish wouldn't be good for children. It's not that type of nail varnish. It's the play stuff that many mums and dads have out there. You paint on the nails and it washes off in the sink with a bit of soap. I agree that it's not appropriate for either boys or girls. Makeup and nail polish. Adults should not be reinforcing the obsession with how we look. Dressing up is imaginative play and comes from the children. Like, there's lots of adverts in which I don't understand. And maybe there's nothing wrong with it, by the way. I'm not linking these two. But there's lots of adverts where girls are portrayed, children are portrayed as adults, and adults are portrayed as children. It's a bit of fun, and I'm not saying it's anything other than that, right? But, you know, like kids' voices in the mouths of adults, or kids dressed up as adults arguing about who's paying for a meal. You'll have seen the ads. I don't understand. I don't see the motivation for it. I'm not connecting it to what we've just been talking about, but it does, like, let's not blur the boundaries. Let's keep kids kids and adults adults and have fun and entertaining adverts maybe different ways. I don't know. Maybe I'm barking up a wrong tree. Okay, you're very welcome back to the programme, and we have three guests in studio with us. Joanne Trimble. Hi, Joanne.
Hello, how are you?
Good to have you with us. How are you keeping?
Keeping well, yeah.
Fantastic. And we also have Orla McLaughlin. Hi, Orla.
Hey, how are you?
Great. And we have your nephew, Wee Danny. Hi, Danny. There he is. Very well-behaved little boy.
Yeah.
Joanne, tell us a little bit about Wee Danny McLaughlin.
Well, Danny came back to Churchill with his family in June. And June a year ago, and at that stage, Danny was unwell and nurses were called. It was through Helen McDade. She organised for nurses to be with Danny. So Danny was born with a brain tumour, and it's an inoperable brain tumour. So we've been working with Danny now for the past 18 months, doing night shifts for him. And we're like aunties to him. We're all mad about Danny.
Yes.
And he's doing really well at the moment. But
and you've known the family from Temple Street?
I've known the family since Danny was 4 weeks old.
Mm.
Helen McDade had organised taking Danny home. So she'd organised different nurses from different areas to come out to him. So I've been there since Danny was 4 weeks. Yeah.
And Orla, as a family, it must be amazing to have the support structure that you still have. Obviously the family, but wonderful people like Joanne as well.
Yeah, the support that we have in the house is great. Like, we have nurses in every night and we have support from Jack and Jill and Bluebird, and we have a daytime nurse in as well with Danny, and Danny's absolutely obsessed with her. Like, she is brilliant with him. So no, the sport is amazing. Like, we couldn't have asked for a better network around us, like sport network.
Yeah, and Danny is a twin.
Yeah, he's a twin. So Danny's got a wee twin brother, Charlie. So the two boys were born on the 14th of June. And they're born in the National Maternity Hospital in Dublin. And after they were born, Annie got to spend very briefly with Danny before Danny was took to Temple Street Hospital. So Charlie spent 5 days in the National Maternity Hospital, and Mum and Dad, they were a rock at the time. They provided so much support for the whole lot of us and Annie. And Mum and Dad took Charlie down home, and Annie had to stay in Dublin with Danny until he got the care that he needed and was fit to come down the road. But Helen McDade was brilliant, and she put the push on that we could get Danny back down to his wee twin brother, and we did. 5 weeks later, we got him back down.
Brilliant. And when was it known that Danny had a brain tumour? I mean, I presume it was after his birth, whether it was determined it to be operable or not, but was Mum aware during the pregnancy?
Okay, so Annie found out, we found out Annie was pregnant in November.
Yeah.
And she went into her 20-week scan, and she can't remember her coming out home, and she had tears in her eyes, and she says, one of the wee twins has a shadow in his brain.
Right.
She was like, we don't know what it is. So from then the journey started, like, we're all panicked, like, and we're up and down to Dublin for different scans and all. From then on, all Annie's scans were down Dublin. So we were very lucky at the time that our Uncle Brian and his partner Anna, they were down in Dublin, and we got to, like, we could stay down.
Yeah.
And we had accommodation down there, so that was great help. But she found out that it was then up in Dublin that it was a brain tumour, and mm-hmm. they knew by the scans, and all the scans were really in depth, they knew by the scans that it was inoperable. And the positioning of the brain tumour was very, it was in behind his eye, so it was going to be very compatible with life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they didn't.
So him being with us here in the studio, he's already a special guest, but it sounds like he's an extra special guest given the prognosis during the pregnancy.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, they didn't, like, they didn't expect Danny to do so well.
Yeah.
They said the location of the tumour, it was going to be incompatible with life. He's laughing at me now. So Danny became...
Could be my voice.
So Danny done well for the first 4 or 6 weeks. He had oxygen, and he was NG fed, and, you know, as I said, he was nursed around the clock. So then when Danny was about 2 months old, he became very acutely unwell.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a Friday morning. Me and Orla were just talking about it coming in here. It was a Friday morning, and Danny stopped breathing. And Orla was there that morning.
Big yawn. And
Orla saved Danny's life that morning. And again, Danny back to the hospital, and again preparing everybody for a final journey for Danny. But Danny rallied again.
He's a battler.
And amazed everybody.
Mm.
And he was having none of it. So he's a tough wee buck, so he is. And when you're having a bad moment and the next thing you look at Danny and he's smiling at you,
mm-hmm.
yeah, he's a great smiler at the minute.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a fundraiser at the moment. It's just search wee-danny on GoFundMe, but we're going to link it on our social media as well. Joanne, do you want to explain what that is for?
The nurses started just organising a little fundraiser for Danny because the family done a lot of research into light therapy, especially his granny, Teresa. She's a great woman for research and things. And anyway, Danny has tried out the light therapy in his own, and he's done really well. He's had 10 treatments, and we really notice a difference. He's mm-hmm. he's much more brighter, alert, and he's been doing well with that. So another thing that we were hoping for as well was a wee sensory room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going forward, if Danny's ever sore or distressed, at least if he had a wee sensory room, you know, he would have more comfort.
Would that be in the home ideally, Joanne?
It would be great if it could be in the home, yeah. It would be great, yeah.
So with the money that's raised, and we know how generous the people of Ireland are, but how generous the people of Donegal are, what equipment would it allow to be, or is it to pay for treatments? Or?
Well, it's to pay for treatments,
okay.
And then also just for the wee sensory room. Those were the things that we...
At the moment, is the light treatment available in Inishowen?
It is,
Right.
So Danny's had 10 sessions up already.
Yeah. And you can see the difference in him as well, Orla?
Yeah, big time. So... Like, I noticed, like, big time his swelling from the medication and all has gone down big time. Like, he used to be very, very puffy, but that's starting to go down a lot. So it is since he started this treatment. And we're even starting to notice a lot, like, more movements with Danny. Like, his movements have come on a lot, and he's even making more sounds and stuff, which was all stuff at the start that
you never thought could be possible.
No, we were told that like Danny wouldn't move and he wouldn't be able to see, but like with lights and stuff, Danny's eyes are moving and it seems like he can see mm-hmm. shadows, but we can never be sure of that.
Yeah. Grasp even.
Yeah. His strength, like he'd latch onto your finger and you can feel the strength in him now.
So as we're going, Joanne is exceeding expectations. He seems to have done that all of his wee life.
Yeah, he has. He really has. And like the wee twin Charlie, they're so, so different, you know. But the two of them are very close together, you know. They're always looking for each other. And the last day I was giving Danny a bottle and Charlie came up and threw a blanket over him and ran on about his business then. But
boys will be boys, which is the way it is.
Yeah.
We're going to link the GoFundMe. And it's really, I suppose, there's no target as such, Joanne. It's just to maximise Danny's development and his awareness and to stimulate his senses. And as I say, he's already proven, you know, with just a few short sessions, it's already proven that it's having a positive impact on him. So let's keep
that
going.
And his mum, Annie, had said, you know, we can't give up on Danny. She says, I'm going to try everything that I can for that wee man. So that's what it's about as well. Danny's grandparents as well, they live down in St. Johnson, Levinus and Sabrina. And they're organising a wee dance in St. Johnson's in Maggie's Tavern on the 16th of November.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll all have to go to St. John's.
Put the glad rags on.
That's
open to the public, so go along. It's another way of supporting Danny and the family. Because, Orla, I mean, obviously, when Danny comes into your life, and obviously with his condition or what have you, the whole family is involved, isn't it? Everyone's involved and it affects the whole family. I mean, obviously with the positivity and the love and seeing those little developments and what have you, but also the 24-hour care and making sure mum has enough time for mum as well as looking after twins and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we are very lucky as well. Like, we have such a good family. Like, we have aunties and uncles there and cousins that they're there all the time and they give Annie the support that she needs. And in all fairness, Annie, she's very strong. She's just took it all in her stride. Like, a lot of people wouldn't be able to at that age, but Annie has took it all in her stride. And we are very lucky. Like, we have such a strong support network around us. And a lot of people wouldn't have that there, so we have to be thankful for that there, and thankful for all the support that the GoFundMe is making as well. That was a huge success. Like,
and it's particularly moving as well, isn't it? Because, you know, it's a personal story, right?
Yeah.
And it's not the easiest decision sometimes to sort of make it public, and you don't know what the reaction might be or whatever. But I've spoken to people in the past that have benefited from public donations, and it's very heartwarming, it's very moving that other people want to support Danny, which is lovely, isn't it, Joanne?
It is lovely. Yeah.
Greg, give them women my number after the chat and we'll organise a wee charity tractor run for wee Danny. That's Gary Tractor Run. No bother to them. Isn't that lovely? Okay.
Yeah.
And if you out there, by the way, loads of you out there involved in fundraising and that type of stuff, if you want to back Danny and Annie and all the family and help with him develop as best as he can develop, because it's great to see some positive signs, you can do that as well. But at the moment, we're also encouraging you to go to the GoFundMe page and we'll link it, but search wee-Danny and you'll find it there. So, Joanne, talk to me a little bit about the level of care, because how many of you are assisting the family with care?
Well,
and it's 24-hour care, is that correct?
It's not quite now at the moment, but Danny gets care 5 nights a week from Bluebird Care Nurses, mm-hmm. which is brilliant. So they come in and they stay with Danny from 11 to 7 in the morning. And then he also gets care from
Jack and Jill,
yeah. So it's 5 nights.
Another brilliant organisation.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah.
And then he has a few hours during the day because he needs a lot of physio and stuff like that and play therapy, and all that makes a wild difference to him. So it's a great support. And like, we're all Annie. We all get on great with Annie. We'd be dying to get chatting to her and see her. Another thing about Annie is she's so calm. She's the best mother. Like, she's a young girl. And I remember after Danny got really sick that first time, like, it was so frightening. And I had gone on holidays and I couldn't stop thinking about him. And I messaged Danny and I said, how is he? And she sent me back a photograph of Danny with a coat on him, along with Charlie, down in the beach in Downings. Yeah, and the auction, the whole lot with them. And I thought, that's the girl. Yeah. You know, she wasn't going to miss anything with them. Brilliant. She'd done everything.
Excellent stuff. Okay, so as I say, just to reiterate, if you want to support we, Danny and Annie and Marcus and Teresa and all her and all the rest of the family, you can donate to We Danny. It's on the GoFundMe page. We're going to link that, and other organisations seemingly want to get involved. So whilst we know, Joanne, that the tumour is inoperable, mm-hmm. at least in this current, mm-hmm. I mean, science, we don't know what, you know, we don't know mm-hmm. what advances might be made in that regard. Is there a hope that the tumour can be shrunk? And would that be through the light therapy, or well, is alternative? I mean, everything's on the table,
the hope,
I presume.
With the light therapy, yeah. that it will reduce pressure and you know, I suppose you just need to hope. They have said with, you know, when we went to the light therapy, they had said that they would hope that it would.
When you look at the other advances that you outlined, Orla, who's to say it won't? And you won't know until you try. And you have to give him the best opportunity as possible, even just for comfort, even if it's not in terms of necessarily mm-hmm. developmental improvements. Presumably it's for his comfort as well if it were to reduce.
Yeah.
Okay, well, listen, I'm so pleased that you brought him in with us. He is no doubt a little angel.
Yes.
And he's rocking the Tommy Hilfiger as well.
He is, isn't he? Yeah, he likes like his that. Style.
He likes his Tommies. All right, brilliant stuff. And is there anything else, either Joanna or Orla, that you want to add before you leave? Because I'm sure you were thinking about things that you wanted to say. So, Orla?
No, I just want to thank everyone for donating and how good everyone was, especially how good everyone was since Danny's came home, like the healthcare and the support from our family and everything. It's just, it's great to see, like, we have such a good support network, and I'd mm-hmm. like to thank everyone for how good they are.
Okay, and Joanne?
Yeah, I'm just feel the same. We're humbled by everybody. You know, they got a great support.
Tell us one more time about Marcus and Teresa's night. It is them that are organising.
No, it's not. It's his other granny and granddad in St. Johnson.
Right, okay. And what are they organising?
They're organising a dance on the 16th in Maggie's Tavern.
Yeah, in St. Johnson.
In St. Johnson. Mm-hmm.
Brilliant, okay. Yeah. So a night out, a bit of fun, and also supporting the family.
Yeah.
Joanne Trimble, thank you so much
thank
for calling
you very
in.
Much.
And Danny so well behaved. You wouldn't even know he was in the room other than his lovely smiles and his odd yawn. again, that could be my voice. I'm not really quite sure. I can bore people. And Orla McLaughlin, who is Danny's auntie.
Thank you.
Mum's sister. Thank you very much indeed. Now, if you want to support Danny and the family, we'll link the GoFundMe page on our social media. If you search We Danny, GoFundMe and We Danny in Google, normally you find them that way, but just double check, of course. You'll know from the description that it's about Danny and Inishowen, and it's about supporting the family and giving him the light therapy in Inishowen as well, which has already shown improvements, and hopefully, fingers crossed, and miracles do happen as well, it might shrink the tumour and give him a better chance. And if you meet Danny, there's no doubt about it, you'll realise how special he is. And not to forget, I haven't met him, but I'm sure Charlie.
Yeah.
I can't forget Charlie
can't
either.
Can't forget Charlie.
And the blankets. Yeah. Okay, we'll be back with more on the programme after we take a break. Okay, I just about made it back here because I got to hold beautiful wee Danny. What an amazing little boy. And it was very hard to hand him back. Such a little dote. And if you can support the family, please do. He's just an absolute angel. Another angel, Elizabeth Moore. She's in Creve and Letterkenny. Hi, Elizabeth. 85 today. Happy birthday to you. Have a wonderful day. From husband, Willie, and son, Wesley, and me, Greg, and all of the team here at Highland Radio, and I'm sure all of our listeners. Elizabeth Moore in Letterkenny, in Creve to be more precise. Have a wonderful day. Willie, I hope you have Elizabeth spoiled rotten. She is a queen, don't forget. Okay. Let's say hello to Anne now. Anne, thanks so much for joining us. I do appreciate your time.
No problem.
Right, now you're going through it at the moment. You've a compression in your neck, a nerve compression in your neck, and I don't think we can really imagine what that must be like unless one has gone through it. Can you describe, Anne, what it's like for you, how it's impacting on your health, and I suppose your the pain and what have you?
I haven't been able to go back to work because of it. I'm not allowed to lift anything heavy. And as for the pain, as you said, unless you've had it, you can't describe it. It's just like, I'm lucky at the minute, and my pain's about a 7 constantly at the minute, but when it's a 10, it's just one of those pains where you just, you can't sit, you can't do anything, you have to be constantly moving. Like, I've been times where I've been in the car and I've nearly had to throw myself out of the car when it stops just to get moving, because it's so intense, it's excruciating.
It's relentless chronic pain, isn't it? It's when they say pain 0 is no pain, 10 is 10, you're at 11, and I presume there's very little over the counter or what have you that can relieve that pain for you.
Well, there's nothing over the counter, and I am taking numerous prescribed medications which aren't really, they are helping, but they're not taking away the pain. They're just dulling it, is the only way I could describe it. Like, I'm on 3 or 4 different medications alone just for this nerve compression.
Right, okay. So you are on a list for an operation or for injections or what have you. I have a couple of notes. I don't really do notes on the show. It's not really quite clear. So I want you to tell me the situation and what happened last night, Anne.
Yes. Yes. Well, I was in Dublin earlier this year to see the consultant, and I just kind of turned around and I says, look, my life's back. Can you not just do the surgery? So the doctor went away and spoke to the higher-ups, and they said that they would put me on the list for the injection and the surgery, mm-hmm. and just whichever comes first, you know, take. So I was out of the house for an hour last night, and I'd left my phone on charge. And when I came back at 9 o'clock last night, I had 2 missed calls at 8:30 from a Dublin number.
Mm-hmm.
So I listened to the voice note, and it was a doctor from the neurosurgery team ringing, asking me to ring him back. So about 9:05 last night, I rang him back, and he proceeded to tell me that he was ringing to confirm. At the start, I thought he was ringing to tell me that I needed to ring this morning to see if there was a bed, but it turned out he was ringing to confirm the surgery for today.
Wow! So you,
As they hadn't heard anything back from me. Apparently, admissions were meant to ring me yesterday morning to let me know that there was a bed booked for me and surgery was booked for today. And I found that at 9 o'clock last night.
So you were theoretically expected to get in your car or whatever it might be, a car, and go down last night or very early this morning to Dublin for this very intrusive surgery. Why did they give you such short notice, Anne?
I'm assuming it was a cancellation. He didn't really explain. I'm assuming that he thought admissions had been in contact and had explained.
Mm.
I think it might have been a cancellation, or a bed had come up that they weren't expecting, and I obviously was at the top of the list. So that's why they rang me that time of the night. But he rang me to confirm because he hadn't heard back from admissions. So when he rang me back, that's the first I heard of it. So he's, oh, there's been a miscommunication somewhere. And I was thinking, well, obviously there has, because he thought they had rang me at 9 o'clock yesterday morning. And that was him ringing me at 9 o'clock. Well, me ringing him back at 9 o'clock last night. And I said to him, you don't understand. I said, I'm in Donegal. I'm 4 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
I don't live just beside the hospital. I says, I don't know if I can get a way to get to Dublin, because obviously I would need somebody to take me down.
Yeah.
Not packed. I haven't my house in order, and not to mention
You haven't your head in order for that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, because this is it. Like, they did say that unfortunately, it's rare, but it can happen that you can be left paralyzed. So, you know, you have to kind of wrap your head around all that and know that you're going for the surgery. 99.9% of the time, people come out of it and they're fine. But there's always that, you know, chance. And mentally, you need to prepare yourself. And I was far from mentally prepared last night. So, yeah, I just think that it's terrible that they're ringing people at 9 o'clock at night, 4 hours away from a hospital.
What time was the appointment for?
He didn't say. He just had said that if I was coming down, that I could be down before 3. So I don't know if they had me booked in later in the day or whether they were going to swap around surgeries to make it fit.
Do you know, was it for the surgery or was it for the injection? Because you were on the waiting list for both. What were they calling you for, I wonder?
Oh, it was the surgery.
Okay.
I was talking to the surgeon, and had me booked today for surgery.
So you've had to decline the appointment because it's just not doable for you. What does that mean? Does that put you to the bottom of the list again now, or do they understand the reality of the geography and what have you?
Well, they definitely don't understand the reality of the geography. And I did ask, what does this mean for me now? I said, because this was a mistake on your end. Mm. I says, does this mean that I'm pushed to the back of the list again or what? And he says, well, I don't know. And I says, well, I says, if this happens again, is there going to be a guarantee that I'm going to get a phone call from admissions? Or is it going to be a case again that I'm going to get a phone call from the surgeon at 9 o'clock at night to say, we have you in for the next day?
My concern is, Anne, that, you know, pen and paper don't necessarily tell the full picture. And this will go down as you was declining the opportunity without the explanation or the reality being reflected in the notes, if that makes sense. I hope it really doesn't disadvantage you. How tough a decision was it? Like, I mean, how long did you debate whether or not to, there's a reality. There probably is you want to speak to people before you head for this type of surgery, if there is a risk. I don't know. But anyway, can you talk to me about the thought process and what deciding whether you could or couldn't?
Well, there was two factors in it. One, it was so late at night, and I know a person that is waiting on a very similar surgery to me by the same doctor in the hospital, and she has been cancelled 7 times because when she rang, they told her to ring the morning of the surgery, see if there was a bed, and when she rang, there was no bed. So my fear was, do I go the whole way to Dublin, accept the surgery, go the whole way for admissions to tell me there is no bed? So, you know what I mean? And that was kind of a factor. And then the other factor was, you know, it's 4 hours away and I would like somebody to be able to come with me just to settle me in my bed, if you know what I mean.
No, 100% and, I do. I know, 100%. And then, go ahead, yeah.
And then on top of that, my daughter is actually pregnant at the minute and she is going for a scan today. And that was all organised. And, you know, it was a whole lot of factors that came together to make it impossible, nearly. And it was a tough decision. Like, I was kind of, will I go? And then there's that fear, you know, Jesus, I don't want to go.
How much of this is probably not a fair question, but how much was it fear, do you think, and how much was it all of the stuff we've been talking about? Because it's a big thing, isn't it?
It's a big thing. Well, the fear is going to be there regardless if I get 10 days notice or I get 2 hours notice. It was a combination of factors working against me at that time of night, and it was the fact that it was so short notice.
Yeah,
you know, there was no time.
So,
like, if I had been notified at 9 o'clock yesterday morning, I would have had time to organise things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, listen. In the first instance, Anne, it's good to talk to you to discuss the reality of living in Donegal, so far removed from where these surgeries take place, and the lack of understanding that to ring someone at 9 o'clock at night for an admission before 3 the next day, it's not really reflective of the geography of this country and what we have to do to get healthcare. Other than that, Anne, I mean, obviously, we can make an inquiry to see what impact that has on your position. Not, I presume they won't talk of you specifically, but it will be interesting if you want us to. We can make contact with the HSC to see how this affects you in terms of your position on the waiting list. Do they take account of the realities? Just by the by, Dolores had a compression in her neck as well, a nerve compression, and got the injection, and she never looked back after the injection. I don't know. Have you ever had the injection yet, Anne?
No, I haven't. And I did ask them what the success rate was when they mentioned it. And they said that they can't. It varies from person to person. Mm. They said that they have had people that have had the injection and that worked for a couple of months. They've had people that have had the injection that have never, ever come back. And they've had the people that haven't had the injection
and it
didn't work.
Yeah, you know, and the way the health service is now, they won't commit to anything. And I understand that, but they just won't give you a straight answer because they have to cover all bases. And listen, I hope you get a call back with notice as soon as is possible, because I can only imagine, and that's not just a phrase, what it must be like to have acute pain that's very hard to or impossible to manage. I hope you get sorted soon. I hope your daughter's scan all goes well. And listen, hopefully you're not in too much pain at the moment. A seven would probably kill me, but it's probably a break for you. It's funny how it goes, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right.
Yes. Well, this is it. Everybody's version of 7 is different.
Yes, exactly. All right. And listen, genuine best wishes to you and all. And we'll make our inquiries. And if we get anything back, which I'm sure we'll get something back, we'll obviously relate that to you directly. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Greg.
All right. Bye-bye, Anne. Bye-bye, Anne. So there you go. I mean, that's the reality of the postcode lottery of the health service in some instances. And Anne wasn't a winner. there, though her number was drawn, so to speak. It does seem incredibly short notice for a surgery that does carry, albeit small, does carry risk, and with everything else that's going on in people's lives and what have you. If you can relate to that, 086 60 25000, a WhatsApp and text number, or give us a call on 07491 25000. Now, of course, you know, there's light and shade in life, and we've talked about a lot of serious issues today. A lot of, in a way, having Danny in studio, incredibly emotional because he's such a beautiful young boy. But you can also see the how brave he has to be. You know, it's a challenging conversation, and we've talked about other things throughout the course of the week. And we're heading towards 11 o'clock, and it's the last hour of the show for the week, heading into a long weekend. I'm in a flow here, Caroline. Stop looking at me. And we're going to sort of ease the foot off the pedal a little bit and talk frivolously to our two guests about all things entertainment. It could be what you're going to watch on telly, where you're going to go, how you, what makes you happy, anything at all. That's all coming up between 11 and 12. It's Joe, is it? Who's with Michael? No, she's not looking at me at all. Right, anyway, we'll figure all that out. I still have time for a few of your comments, but first we'll take a break and we'll be back with the weather. A caller believes it's time to start worrying about our own country. It has enough issues without trying to sort issues in other countries. But that being said, right, so, like, there are issues that are Irish issues, but there are international issues. So, say, for instance, if you talk about the pressure on the housing stock in this country, a lot of it is down to people fleeing the Middle East and Ukraine because of wars. And then a lot of the time they go to seek refuge. They come into Ireland in big numbers, and that's putting pressure on the system and housing. So I don't know, can you look at problems in our own country in isolation, or if you want to maybe make life better for people for where they live and allow them to stay in their own country, which most do, do you have to think about it on a global level? Bit complex, but you know. Hi, Greg. Just got the tail end of the panel there about the general election. I myself will be voting for a local independent candidate who lives in Letterkenny electoral area. I'm finished with parties that are full of false promises. The person who cares what happens in Letterkenny and its electoral area and is willing to work hard for the county and not get sucked into self-interest, it happens in local elections. A person like Mr. Pringle, I don't agree with everything he stands for, but at least he's fighting his corner. Hi, Greg. My daughter came back home yesterday from school and she said the teacher would not let her go to the toilet, and she said she was dying to go. I told my daughter next time, go to the corner of the classroom and pee in the classroom and tell the teacher to phone me. The teachers are like the Garda. Too much power. Okay. I like your parenting. I kind of do like the parenting style there. You know, stuff it. How about don't put any makeup or nail polish on any kids, boys or girls, in any play school setting. Simple. No pretend spa days either. There should be specific games for... I've read that one already. You used that sentence before during the referendum about only those opposing it are texting in. Maybe that's because people are against it in general. That's not a statement. When I say something like that, and you're quite right, when I say something like that, it's a question. Because you never know. Like, I'm in a room here on my own, okay? I'm completely isolated and doing these interviews. It's not motivated in any way, shape or form. It quite literally is. You know, I'll tell you for an example, between 3 and 5% of people who listen to radio show will text in. It might be more in local radio, but that's the national figure. So sometimes you don't know if what you're getting is the general view of the population or those most motivated to text. So I don't mean that in any loaded way. It's just an observation. And fair play to you, eagle-eared, for noticing that I've said it before. But keep texting. Love to hear from you all.